Blog Talk Radio.
Little boy, where you going? Tell me what you're gonna do, you're gonna be. Tell me what's your future. It's college in your dreams. You like that money and them shiny things. Got shot at 17. At your funeral we sing a sad song. Your mama's baby's gone. I hear the preacher say, rest in peace, little boy. Little girl, where you going? Do you even know? You too young for them clothes. I know you think you grown, but let him see your mind, not the crack of your behind. Baby, take your time and realize tomorrow has trouble of its own. Oh, and one more thing, you deserve a king cause you a queen, baby girl.
What happened to the day?
Come on.
When we knew the way, and we used to say,
Jesus.
Now everything is great, when trouble comes we pray.
Nothing's gotta change.
Yeah.
I see the lightning flashing.
Come on, Red.
And I heard the thunder roll.
Just hear
the it won't be long. God's showing up. I'm wrong.
Oh,
get right, shot.
Lord have mercy.
Before it's time to go home.
Oh,
Mom and Daddy, what you doing? Ain't took a trip in years, busy with both your careers.
Yeah.
Trying to make your mark, even bought a house, but your kids live at 106 and Park. It's getting dark,
yeah.
Don't let the sun go down. Now your children ain't around for
ain't
you.
Around for
ain't no money in the world worth you losing family. Just trying to help you see
what happened to the days when we knew the way, and we used to say. Now everything is great. Trouble comes with praise. Nothing's gonna change.
I see the lightning flashing.
The temperature.
I heard the thunder roll.
Mean a talent show, a lottery. I know I've been guilty. It starts inside of me. Together
we can make a change.
Yeah.
And one more thing.
One
when
way.
You judge his name, be careful. The preacher ain't your God.
Ain't your God.
See his job. To give the people Jesus, baby. Jesus, baby.
The road.
Yeah. See,
going home.
Going home.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and welcome to Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, April 3rd, 2023. Hallelujah. And tonight we're going to be continuing with our transformational journey with part 5 of Overcoming Fear and Anxiety. Hallelujah. So, but before we get started with the lesson tonight, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. And I just want to give honor to God. I want to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give honor to the anointed servant leaders that are present here in the studio tonight. And I'd like to give honor to all of you, God's elect. So let us bow. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, just praying in the name of Jesus that you would empty me, Father God, so that I might teach this lesson with love and conviction in a way that your children will be truly delivered, they can begin to heal, they can be restored and transformed, Father God. They can overcome their fear and their anxiety. Hallelujah. So, Father God, just use me now so that you might get all the honor and the glory and the praise. And, Father, if somebody is listening tonight that doesn't know you and the pardon of their sin, I pray that they would truly hear the truth tonight in a way that they would want to come and make you their Lord and their Savior. It is in Jesus' holy and righteous name I do pray all things. Amen.
Amen.
Now, thank you, God. This study is one that I really was pressed to do, I was led to do, because I honestly believe that many of us aren't being delivered. We're not being healed, restored, or transformed because we're just not facing the hard truth about the root of our continual bondage. But please know that the teaching that I'm going to present tonight is not being presented out of accusation or condemnation, but it's being shared out of love. Because today it seems that so many of us who profess Christ are still living in fear, afraid of not being accepted, afraid of not being the best, or afraid of being found out that you're just not really where you want people to believe you are. But saints, God said it doesn't have to be this way, for he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, family, we have to know our adversary. And so far through this study, we have exposed the spirit of pride and haughtiness, jealousy and envy, along with the spirit of lying, heaviness, infirmity, and Jezebelite are seducing spirits. Now, as you've heard me say, these and other evil spirits will rush in and overtake us when we allow fear and anxiety to dictate our lives instead of faith. So once again tonight, I'm going to continue to break down some of these spirits with scripture, and we'll also share examples of how a spirit operates to demonstrate just how easily we can entertain them. So tonight's topic is the spirit of false prophecy and the false prophets that operate in this spirit. In 2 Timothy 3:1-5, the word of God declares, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. This passage of scripture right here opens the floodgate for the false prophet and false prophecy. But what does the Bible say about false prophets? Well, in Matthew 7 and 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You see, family, messages bombard us on a daily basis. Buy this. Do that. Go here. Go there. And when it comes to messages, even about the matters of faith, we can often get confused about what is and what's not true. Now, in the days of the Old Testament, God often spoke through prophets. These were special people he chose to use as instruments for delivering his messages. People like Isaiah, Daniel, and Jeremiah were plucked from their normal lives, and they were tasked with the great responsibility of being a spokesperson for the Most High God. Now, many of these prophets were highly respected and treated with deep reverence, while others were ridiculed, despised, and even martyred. But what is the difference between a prophet and a false prophet? And how can we tell the difference? Well, let's start with the meaning of the word prophet. The word prophet comes from the Hebrew word nabai, or nabai, to bubble forth like a fountain, or to utter, to speak, or to pour forth. It's an announcement. The words are Hosea and Roe, meaning seer, are also used in reference to the prophet. The term is meant to imply the person is receiving an announcement directly from God, and that word or vision then bubbles forth for others to receive it as well. A prophet is meant to receive a message, hallelujah, from God. Whether it's a verbal directive or words or a vision or a dream, and then they have to communicate that message to the people. Now, God often sends prophets to warn or to guide people. Often they served as God's representative, ambassador, or spokesperson. Israel's kings would seek the counsel of prophets before making major decisions, such as waging war, to be sure their actions were in line with the Lord's wishes. And at other times, a prophet would receive a vision from God for the king, then seek out the king to convey that message. For example, in 2 Samuel 7, God revealed to the prophet Nathan in a dream that David would not build the Lord's temple, but rather David's offspring would do so. So then Nathan reported that to David, who then in turn heeded God's command. You see, many of God's prophets penned the Old Testament books, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Habakkuk. In the New Testament, the Apostle Peter called a true prophetic message something that was completely reliable, as he said, "You will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." That's 2 Peter 1 and 19. See, a prophecy's origin is not in the human will, as Peter elaborated, but rather prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. See, you can find that in 2 Peter 1 and 21. So, the difference between a prophet and a false prophet. Well, While a prophet is one who receives and then offers the word of God, a false prophet is one who receives the word by other means, such as divination, fortune telling, or sorcery, whether a word from their own minds or from other false gods. These corrupt, dishonest messages are not of God. Therefore, they can't be trusted. You see, sometimes people pose as true prophets to mislead, such as in Nehemiah 6:10-15, when a false prophet attempted to convince Nehemiah to hide in the temple. But you see, in this instance, Nehemiah realized it was a trap. But now other times, false prophets offered signs and wonders as a way to entice people to follow other gods instead of the Lord, as recorded in Deuteronomy 13:1-3. See, we need to understand that God speaks harshly against false prophets. He speaks harshly about occult practices and other means of sorcery. God describes a false prophet as one who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded. Or it's a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods. This is recorded in Deuteronomy 18:20. And in Jeremiah 14:14, God says, these evildoers prophesy lies, offering false visions, divinations, idolatries, and the delusion of their own minds. Hello, somebody. Man. Apostle Paul also gives a warning against such false teachers in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15. He says, and what I do, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond with their deeds. In Deuteronomy 18:9-20, God warns the people not to engage in divinations. He told them, do not be casting spells or consult mediums, nor listen to anyone who speaks in the name of other gods. That includes money.
Mm-hmm.
These false prophets should be put to death, he says. You see, God expresses his displeasure even more fiercely in Jeremiah, both about the false prophets and those who listen to them. He says, this is in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 15 through 16. Yes, we're going precept upon precept. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. It says, therefore, this is what the Lord says about the prophets who are prophesying in my name. I did not send them, yet they are saying, no sword or famine will touch this land. Those same prophets will perish by sword and famine. And the people they are prophesying to will be thrown out of the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and sword. There will be no one to bury them, their wives, their sons, and their daughters. I pour out on them the calamity they deserve. Lord made it sound pretty clear right there, I should say. You see, God also notes in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 30 through 32, that he is against false prophets. And in Zechariah 13:3, he says that they must be stabbed to death by their own parents. Okay? So we should not have any doubt what God thinks about false prophets. Now, that was the Old Testament. You might be asking yourself, well, were there any false prophets in the New Testament? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. There sure were. False prophets were not only a problem in the Old Testament, they also plagued the apostles in the New Testament. For example, the saints of God and Spirit alive know this because we've been in the book of Acts for a long time now. But the book of Acts describes an occasion when Barnabas and Paul encountered a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet when the apostles were offering the word of God to the proconsul of Paphos. Now, when the sorcerer tried to oppose their teaching, let me tell you what happened. A Holy Ghost filled Paul verbally lashed out at the man, causing him to go blind. Now, the proconsul, seeing this, became amazed, and they believed. You see, the Apostle Peter also warned about false teachers, much like false prophets, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. That's in 2 Peter 2 and 1. These evildoers will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. That's 2 Peter 2:13. So I know that there must be, some of you might be asking yourselves, well, Apostle, do false prophets exist today? Yes, they do. You see, and how do I know? Well, I know because Jesus, in speaking to his apostle about the end times, he warned about false prophets. He said that they would indeed appear in the attempt to deceive even God's elect, that the Son of God had returned. That's in Matthew 24:24. And the word goes on to say in 24:36, don't listen or heed their guidance, we are told. Rather, stay vigilant and be ready. Jesus said, for about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. You see? So we can't get caught up entertaining these false prophets and their prophecies. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, the Apostle Paul warns that time will come. Like I said, as I opened this program, they're going to turn from the truth. You know, and what they're going to do is start listening to these preachers that are saying what they want to hear. They begin to offer myths rather than God's word. You know, they begin to teach that the church should have a new normal. But Jesus tells us that we have one path to God, and that's through him. And as he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And in his Sermon on the Mount, he said his path is rooted entirely in the Lord, insisting, do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. That's Matthew 5:17. So you might be asking yourself, well, okay, Apostle, oh, you done told us about a real prophet. Now you done told us a little bit about a false prophet. Now, how do we know the difference? Hallelujah. Look, your sister has something, the 411 for you. You see, God offers instructions on how his people can determine true from false prophets. In Deuteronomy 18:22, explain, if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message that the Lord has not spoken.
Amen.
That prophet has spoken
Amen.
Presumptuously, so don't be alarmed. How many of you are sitting out there, right, that may be in the sound of my voice right now, you waiting on this so-called prophet that told you, oh, yeah, you're going to get that. The Lord told him or her, oh, yeah, you're going to get that husband in the next year. You're going to get that new job in the next month. You're going to get that new house. And you're still waiting on that to come into fruition.
Glory to God.
Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells us to beware these false prophets because they appear gentle, but they really aren't. Because like the word says, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. But he says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them.
Hold them. Yes.
That's Matthew 7:15-20. So the bottom line is this. A false prophet is one that brings a message that is not from God. Their message contradicts what God instructs, and it often appeals to the earthly cravings and passions of humanity. So ultimately what they do is they produce bad fruit. Saints of God, the Word of God tells us to test the spirit. Don't believe everything that comes out of that man or that woman's mouth because they're standing in the pulpit. That's why the Word of God tells us to study to show ourselves approved. So we will know how to trust instead in Jesus and the Word of God. You know, toward the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, his disciples came to him with several questions concerning the future. They said, tell us, what shall be a sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus responded, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, says Matthew 24:3-8. You see, the Apostle Paul warned of these days. He said, for the time will come when the saints of God are not going to want to endure sound doctrine. But because of their lust, because they want to live holy with a twist, because they don't want to be obedient to God, because they want to live in their pride, they heap to themselves teachers because they want somebody that's going to tickle their ears, and they're going to turn away from the truth. You see, Paul also taught that it was the Lord who gave some apostles, semicolon, and some were prophets and pastors, evangelists, teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's Ephesians 4:11-14. My brothers and sisters, the exact time of the second coming is known only by Father God. There are, however, signs that scripturally prophesy, the scriptural prophecy relating to this tumultuous day that is now being fulfilled. Jesus cautioned several times that prior to his second coming, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. As apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is our duty to be watchmen on the wall. It is our duty to be watchmen on the tower. We are to be warning every blood-washed believer to beware of false prophets, to beware of false teachers who lie in wait to ensnare and destroy faith and your testimony. Today we warn you that there are false prophets and false teachers arising every day. And if we're not careful, even those of us who are among the faithful can fall victim to their deception. When we think of false prophets and false teachers, we tend to think of those who espouse an obviously false doctrine or presume to have authority to teach the true gospel of Jesus Christ according to their own interpretation. We often assume that such individuals are associated with some small radical groups out on the fringes of society. However, I reiterate, there are false prophets and false teachers who have laid their claim, and they are walking around in pulpits, in churches all over the world. There are those who, without any authority from God, they claim to be sent by God. See, they weren't called and sent, they just went. And some of these people claim church endorsements, and they're selling their products, their vitamins, they're selling this, they're selling that. And the Word of God says you better watch out. Beware of such. Saints of God, let us beware of false prophets and false teachers, both men and women, who are self-appointed. They are self-appointed declarers of the doctrine of the church and who seek to spread their false gospel just to attract followers. Beware of those who speak and publish in opposition to God's true prophets and who actively proselyte others with reckless regard for the internal well-being of those whom they seduce. You see, false prophets and teachers are those who arrogantly attempt to fashion a new interpretation of the scriptures to demonstrate that these sacred texts should not be read as God's holy word and his truth, you know. But they're just merely utterances of uninspired men limited by their own prejudice and cultural biases. They argue, therefore, that the scriptures require new interpretation and that they are uniquely qualified to offer that interpretation. Perhaps more damningly, some of them even try to deny Christ's resurrection and atonement, arguing that no God can save us. They reject the need for a Savior. In short, these detractors attempt to reinterpret the doctrine of the church to fit their own preconceived views. And in the process, they deny Christ his Messianic role. False prophets and false teachers are also those who attempt to change the God-given and spiritually based doctrine that protects the sanctity of marriage, the divine nature of family, and the essential doctrine of personal morality. See, we've got churches that now advocate a redefinition of morality to justify fornication, adultery, and homosexual relationships. Some openly champion the legalization of so-called same-gender marriages. They want to justify their rejection of God's immutable laws that were designed to protect the family. Now, am I saying, that I don't like gay, I don't love gay people? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I cannot teach anyone anything contrary to the holy word of God.
Amen.
Some people, all they want to teach is prosperity teaching. You know, if you give this amount of dollars, the Lord will bless you tenfold. If you do this or do that, you're going to be just fine. You really don't have to have a relationship. You just have to show up and, you know, say a few words. Maybe you might have to visit your priest, or maybe you have to say a few prayers. But as long as you do that, you ought to be all right. No. I don't care what particular false doctrine is being taught. You need to understand that false prophets and false teachers are an inevitable part of our last days. See, but we also need to understand that in the Lord's church, there is no such thing as a loyal opposition. You have to understand, you better hear me and hear me clearly. You're either going to be for the kingdom of God that will stand and defend in defense of God's prophets and apostles, or you're going to be one that stands opposed. Either you love the things of God or you don't. Either you're going to obey the things of God or you won't. You know. There is no gray area. Either you're going to know the word, stand on the word, be convicted by the word, and I don't care who is where, when they're telling you something different, you need to know by the power of that Holy Spirit that is indwelling in you that if that is wrong, you need to know that. You need to begin to pray for that person. I don't care how long they've been the pastor of the church. I don't care if they call themselves apostle, doctor, reverend, apostle, bishop, whatever they call themselves. They can call themselves that all strung together. I don't care. But if they're telling you anything contrary to the word of God, if they're telling you it's okay to have a new normal in the church, it's okay, you know, like suddenly God ordained stacking instead of marriage, No. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. See, the church might want to get a new normal, but the Lord God stays the same. He says, I change us not. I'm the same yesterday,
yes,
today, and forevermore. So, and so is his word.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
So you better know that. And the word of God goes on to say that, and the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. And because if they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not be acted upon. Save it be for the by the punishment of the law at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men. Or they can choose captivity and death according to the captivity and the power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself.
Yes.
And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto the great commandments and be faithful unto his word and choose eternal life according to the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, family, we cannot just idly stand by and allow folk to continually lie, proper lie, not prophesy, proper lie from pulpits. We cannot just continue to idly to sit still and allow prophets to operate more like psychics and soothsayers than men and women of God. You see, brothers and sisters, we need to be anxiously engaged in good causes. We've got to love our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, it says, let us sustain and live by the revelations of the restored gospel. Let us love our fellow beings and fill our hearts and soul with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you know what we can do? We can sing with Isaiah. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Therefore, with joy shall I draw water out of the well of salvation. That's Isaiah 12, 2 through 3. And we also know from Paul's inspired words to the Galatian saints that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And if we live by the Spirit, then we ought to walk by the Spirit. And that means when we know that somebody is standing in a pulpit, and they're prophesying that they are leading others astray. The word of God declares and decrees that the elders of the church need to call that person on the carpet, because as member of the church, each and every one of us need to be, we have to model what it truly means to live a resurrected life in Christ. This means we should be, you know, we should be behaving and believing like Christians.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing about God. He believes Christians ought to act like Christians. Nobody will ever believe what we say until they see what we believe. You see, we have to understand that our example will have a powerful effect on other people. Oh, hallelujah. We can take the gospel, and when we take the gospel and we apply it to our personal life and we begin to testify about the goodness, the truth of what God is doing, hallelujah, that makes that word more relevant. It's more meaningful. It's convincing, and it becomes desirable to them.
Real.
Each one of us should radiate that joy, that love, that confidence, that warmth of being a part of the body of Christ. And we need to understand something. Our discipleship is not something that we should endure with long faces and a heavy heart, nor is it something to be jealously clutched to our bosoms and not shared with others. We're not supposed to hoard our gifts. We're not supposed to hoard our blessings. But thanks to God, as we come to understand that the love of the Father through His Son, we will come to allow our spirits to soar.
Yes.
We will walk around singing with everlasting joy. We need, thanks to God, in order to counteract these false prophets and false prophecy, is we need to be reaching out to people in friendship and love. And we need to reach across these denominations. You know, we have to start helping to build better family-to-family relationships and better harmony in our neighborhoods. You know, because we need to remember as Christians, our behavior is one of the biggest deterrents to others. It's a bigger deterrent than our doctrine. You see, in the spirit of love for all men and women and children, we need to help them to understand the word of God. We need to help them to feel appreciated. We need to help them to feel accepted. We need to help them to feel loved. Let us remember that we can counteract these false prophets by actually doing what God has told us to do. It's our duty to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it takes faith, real faith, total and unadulterated, unreserved faith to accept and to strive to live, hallelujah, in the presence of the Most High God. You need to know, Lucifer, flathead Satan, he's the adversary of the truth. He doesn't want any of us to feel or exhibit real faith.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he encourages disobedience. Oh, he plants defiance in the hearts of the unwary. And if he is successful, he's hoping that they turn from light to darkness. Listen, our safety, our peace, our joy, it all lies in the Father through his Son. And it all lies in us living the way he wants us to live. It all lies in us not just accepting what false prophets and false teachers have to say because it tickles the ears of some people that's in our congregation. I know that Christ lives. I know that God lives, and Christ lives, and his Holy Spirit lives in me. The gospel of Jesus is true. There is great joy in knowing the truth for yourself. There is great joy in not having to be performance-driven, money-driven. There is great joy in having that kind of freedom. Just the freedom to share the gospel, hallelujah, in a way that you will begin to see miracles, signs, and wonders when real servant leaders become, get together and begin to pray according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Get to fervently praying for the congregation. Get to fervently allow the scales to fall from their eyes and start teaching and ministering to their congregation according to their needs and not according to their wallet.
Yeah.
It is
Amen.
Time. It is past time for us to shut this down because they are producing bad fruit. You can tell when somebody is sitting under under leadership that is mammon driven, or because they preach prosperity, give, 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 give. That's all they talk about, give, 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 give. Or you have these leaders that they want the accolades that belong to God. They want you to follow them instead of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have some that, you know, they know you're coming up in that church all hugged up with somebody that you're not married to. But because you put X amount of dollars in the plate every week, they, you know, they not want to pull you to the side and say, my brother, my sister, you know, we're setting an example for our youth here. You know, you're not married.
Mm-hmm.
You should not, one, be hugged up in church because this is God's house and here we give him reverence. But they don't have those kind of conversations. When they see when servant leaders are wearing dresses that are so tight that they cannot even bow at the altar to pray, somebody needs to say, sister, we love you, but we need you. You are an example to the whole congregation. How can we tell these young ladies that they can't wear, they shouldn't be wearing tight skirts or tight blouses if you're doing it?
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know about other servant leaders. But if I was out of pocket with the Lord, I want one of my brothers and sisters to tell me, now, no, you can't come at me just any kind of way. But if you're truly a child of God and the Holy Spirit has revealed you to you something that you need to pour into me, and you come to me with love to impart that to me, I'm going to hear you. I want to hear you, because I don't want anything to displease God.
Amen.
I don't want to bring any kind of harm to any of God's people. I want to tell the truth. I am going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because as I just said, I know that God lives. I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I know that he lives in me by the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to testify to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of the Word of God. Now, if you don't want the truth, then I'm not the person that you should talk to, because that's all I have for you, the Word of God, precept upon precept. Now, if you don't like what the Word of God says, I suggest you go on up there and you talk to the Heavenly Father about it. You understand me? Because he's the one that inspired it to be written.
Yes.
We have to stop playing games. We have to stop following these preachers that just merely tell, oh, it's okay. You know, God loves you. You know, oh, God knows your heart. Yes, he does, but he expects it to change. And hell is a real place, and you're going if you don't change. If any prophet is telling you anything besides you do know Jesus is coming back, and all I want to know is, will you be ready? That's all they can tell you. We've got our instructions from A to Z, from Genesis to Revelation.
Yes.
But there's nothing new that God's going to be telling us that he hasn't already told us in his holy word. Now, prophets are here to correct. They are here to instruct. They are here to make sure that we are doing exactly what God says to do. They are not here to predict when your future husband going to show up. They are not here to predict whether or not you're going to win the lotto. They are not here to tell you that you're going to, to flatter you. Because let me tell you something. All them people are doing right now, they're flattering you right now, telling you what you want to hear for later so they can depart from you your money right now. You hear what I'm saying? See, false prophets are in it for one thing, self. How am I seen? What am I doing? They need to listen to what I say. You know, beware. And they can sound real good. Oh, like the word of God says, if the enemy can appear as an angel of light, you know, what you think these false prophets are doing. They're coming in and they're stirring up discord. They're hiding behind their position up in the clergy. They're doing all kinds of ungodly things, yet In the sanctuary, you would think they are the most holiest people you ever wanted to meet. But then they go home and they might beat their wives, or they might go home, or they're in their office, they're molesting children. False prophets, they show up, they look real, they can even sound real. There's only one problem with them. They're not real.
Not real. Amen. Amen. Amen.
So I pray that this has enlightened you a little bit. You know, I want you to understand that there's a lot of folks out there that will tell you that it's time for a new a new normal in the church, and I tell you, nay. You better stand on the word of God. You better stay to show yourself approved. You better, hallelujah, you better begin to pray for that servant leader. Hallelujah. You better get with the rest of the, you know, you get with the elders and you start praying. And do not think that you, just because you're a member of the congregation, that you can't step to a servant leader. If that servant leader is out of order, God expects those elders to step to that servant leader.
Yes.
Because, see, you have to stop the bleed. The elders can cut off the bleed. But when you don't, and you let these spirits run rampant through the body, you see it's like a cancer. So I'm praying, saints of God, don't be afraid to stand on God's word and know the truth for yourself, so you will not entertain the spirit of false prophecy or the false prophets that operate in that. So amen, and to God be the glory. Now we're going to get into the spiritual songs. We have Spirit Alive family in the house. So if any of you, I'm going to, before we get out of here, I am going to have Pastor Vanessa pray and make her comments. So I think I'm going to start with you, Mother Mitchell. Any comments, Matt?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I didn't want to miss tonight. I just knew the Lord had a blessing in it for me. Nobody had to come and tell me. Nobody had to send me a letter. I didn't get no memo, but I prayed. I got down on my knees and I prayed to the Lord, and he said, go. It's going to be a message in it, because I know my Redeemer lives, and he lives just for me, and he watches over me. And he takes care of me. And it's like the song you keep playing. If we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? We have to tell them. Maybe they will get it somewhere along the way. But they will get it before time runs out if we tell them. We've got to tell them. And I just thank you, Apostle Cook, for this wonderful message. I've just enjoyed everyone. I will be quick, but the Lord says what he says, and he's not going to keep telling you over and over and over same thing. He expects you to grasp it in your heart when you get it and to live by it.
Amen.
I don't know what else to say, and I just love the young people, and they're wanting to be and be different and do more. And I want that for them. And I just pray for them constantly. And I just thank God for all that you have said. I thank God for Pastor Carver and Bishop Carver and for Apostle Zeta and for everyone in our congregation. I learned so much from all of them, even at this late date. And not only am I learning it, I'm going to learn how to speak it, how to walk in it, and how to give God all the glory and do what pleases him the most. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Mother. That's all right. Look, you named me Shalene the last time I checked, Mom. But, hey, hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Minister Tina, any comments below?
Woo, yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Apostle. You hit so many nails on the head tonight.
Yes.
And you pointed out some things that people try to tiptoe around and make their own way, especially with the cancel culture stuff and all the things that they're trying to do to make it so that it's okay. If it's not from God's word or God's way, it's not God's way. No matter what you do or say, you can't make it right in his mind, because he didn't make it that way.
Amen. You better say that.
So I appreciate all those things that you mentioned and said about the false prophets, but also about the false teachings too.
Yeah.
That it's not from God, it's not in his word, it's not okay, or real.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Tina. All right, Pastor Vanessa, I want to hear your comments, and then, of course, I want you to pray according to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am. This topic is a hot one. But the way that knowing that there needs to be better accurate teaching, it is like Minister Tina said, there's a lot of false teaching and they go hand in hand with this false prophets and false prophecy. And people not having discernment because the word isn't taught and just not being able to recognize and following the leads of culture and society, allowing those things to blend in with the word, which is syncretism, and it's so much of this mess. We just have to do better, and it's not going to be people to be courageous to do it how God wants them to do it. You can't really tiptoe around it. You just have to ask the Lord to show you and instruct you, give you courage. Like if he gives you something and you tiptoe around it, or if he gives you something and says be gentle with it, you have to be careful with God's word and with God's people. So I just thank you for this teaching. One of the things that I can say is that topic by itself is at least 2 to 3 or more, for lack of a better word, mountains that needs to be taught. And some people don't have an ear to hear. And some people want what they want. And some people plainly are serving mammon. They really are. And there are hirelings out there. That's what they do. And it makes me very sad because, or frustrated. I'm not really sad because God wins every time. But I get really frustrated when I see a lot of this false prophecy because the world is looking at us and it's like a circus. It's like, who can take that seriously? Even people that were raised in church all their lives just don't know what's right from wrong. So I'm going to pray as God leads, because this is something that intercession, fasting, and praying, things got to break in certain ways, more unity. We'll see. We'll always see this, but we'll see less of it if we, some of us are assigned to this. Some of us are assigned to strategize against this as watchmen, as Apostle Cook taught, to come against this. Watchmen on the wall do many different things, and there's different types of watchmen. But I thank God today for this topic. I thank you, Lord, today for your light, your power, that you give us understanding so that we can walk in wisdom as it pertains to prophecy. Father God, I thank you for dismantling in the name of Jesus from the root. First of all, out of the people of God, out of the people of God that have an appetite for being performed and coming to be entertained and be amused. And these people are there for it. There are some prophets, Father God, I truly believe, based on what you're saying to me now, that should be teaching. And instead, they're not. They should be teaching. They should be teaching the word of God and helping people understand what prophecy is in this day and age. And they have not done that. They decided to serve people and serve money. So I thank you, Lord, today for your mercy on these souls. I do believe out of the faction of these false people that they've all been mixed in together. So I thank you, Lord, today. And I do believe exactly what Mother Mitchell said. Some people have been warned many, many times. And I thank you, Lord, today because I believe that judgment brings to righteousness. You know how to bring justice to the house of God as it pertains to this. Many souls and families have been destroyed because of false prophecy. They've been disheartened. They've fallen away from you, Lord. But I thank you for redeeming the time for those who need to really hear truth. They have been hurt. They have been betrayed by this spirit. Lord. And I thank you, Lord, today for raising up once again so people can understand truth is available to you. Keep truth close to you and guard it. That's what we need to do. And I thank you, Lord, today for opening up the eyes of our understanding. Some of us are really going to have to go into deep places of study. And listen to what you're saying to us so that we can not come out of it. I thank you, Lord, today. Also, I'm going to touch on this. There are many people in the body of Christ that don't believe in the fivefold because of fivefold ministry, because prophets have decided, the false prophets have sullied it. So they totally have thrown, there's no such thing as a prophet. They totally have. They don't believe in speaking in tongues and different things that we do as it pertains to that office. So I thank you, Lord, today for renewal and restoration in this area. I know that you laid it on Apostle Cook's heart for a reason. I know you did.
Lord.
Even this whole series, but specifically, she could have picked and choose what she decided to present, and she presented this because she sees it proliferating in the body of Christ. It is increasing. But I thank you, Lord, today that those who obey you will be the true salt and the true light in this world. That's what, and not hide our light. And many times, Lord, I know that means we have to be confrontational with the spirit of darkness that has snaked itself into the body and snaked itself into what we call church. And it's a circus. And so I thank you, Lord, today for your love and giving us areas,
Lord,
and directions of what they call hard love or
tough love.
And it's about confronting the truth and loving people and you giving us the words and the time to confront it and to teach doggedly against this spirit by teaching your truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Vanessa. Ooh. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, that was one of those prayers that went all through me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there might be someone within the sound of our voices tonight, and you are, you know, and Pastor Vanessa just described you. You've been disheartened by the hypocrisy of the church. You've been hurt by those that said they were from God, and they hurt you. And so you decided that you just didn't want to give your life to Christ. Well, tonight I came to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth on this Monday in Holy Week. Jesus loves you. God loves you. And he loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. Hallelujah. And through your faith in his son, you will not perish but have everlasting life. Now that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is it in a nutshell. I did not come here tonight to tell you what you have to do or beat you over the head with the word of God. What I came to do tonight is to give you the word of God so that you can make a decision for yourself. To decide to want to know the truth, to come into relationship with the truth, to make the truth, Jesus the Logos, the living word of God, your Lord and your Savior. And I don't care what anybody tells you, has this ever said to you before. You don't have to wait till you to a Sunday and you get all dressed up and you go into a brick and mortar and you wait for the preacher to open the doors of the church. All you have to do is open the doors of your heart and desire to know the truth for yourself. And all you have to do is ask. Just ask. You don't have to make a deal with the Lord. He's not Monty Hall. You just have to ask and confess. Just go and say, Lord Jesus, I messed up. I'm a sinner. I've been walking in the lies of the devil. But please forgive me of my sin. I repent right now. Come into my life and save me, so that the scales will fall from my eyes and I might know your holy word and walk in your truth. Teach me your ways. Hallelujah. So that I can do all things that will honor and glory you all the days of my life. And if you said that prayer sincerely from your heart in any way, however the Holy Spirit led you to say it, then you should know that right now, as of this moment, you have been saved. You have been rescued. You have been redeemed. Hallelujah. And now you have been endowed from God with the gift of his Holy Spirit,
yes,
with the gift of salvation and faith and grace and mercy and love, joy and peace. Hallelujah.
Yes. Glory.
You are now, you have now passed from death to life. You are now come out of darkness into God's marvelous light of the truth.
Yes.
Of his truth. So, beloved, don't just fall for anything that sounds good. Let us not be children of God that just want our ears tickled so that we can live holy with a twist. Let us truly be about our Father's business. Let us stand firm on his holy word so that our Heavenly Father will always receive all the glory and the honor and the praise. Because what we need to remember is by our fruit, all men will know us. Hallelujah. This has been Apostle Shalene Cook for another edition of Taking It to the Streets. We have been studying overcoming fear and anxiety, and one of the ways that we do that is that we know our adversary. Tonight we've talked about false prophets and false prophecy, and we just pray that you will study, go in depth and really study these spirits, and we're not so that you can recognize them, so that you can begin to pray according to the Holy Spirit. So
yes,
that you can, hallelujah, like my sister said, the only way we're going to counteract false prophets and false teachings is with the truth. So let's live the truth. Let's speak the truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So that our Heavenly Father will get the glory. It is my fervent prayer that you all have a beautiful and blessed Holy Week. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, on behalf of myself, Mother Mitchell, Pastor Vanessa, and Minister Tina, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here Taking It to the Street and the Spirit Alive Network. Hallelujah. Good night, everyone. God bless you.
Good night, ladies. God bless
I love
you.
You.
Love you all.
Good night, everyone.
God bless you.
Have a great week.
Have a great week, ladies. God bless you.
Amen.